If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors as a dream when one awakest. So, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Remember thy congregation which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion, wherein thou hast dwelt. Lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations, even all that the enemy hath done wickedly in the sanctuary. Thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregation. They set up their ensigns for signs. A man was famous according as he had lifted up axes upon the thick trees. But now they break down the carved work thereof at once with axes and hammers. They have cast fire into thy sanctuary. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. They said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet. Neither is there among us any that knoweth how long. O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? Why withdrawest thou thy hand, even thy right hand? Pluck it out of thy bosom. For God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the head of the dragons in the waters. Thou breakest the head of Leviathan in pieces, and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. Thou didst cleave the fountain and the flood. Thou driest up mighty rivers. The day is thine, the night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter. Remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name. O deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. Forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. Have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. O let not the oppressed return to shame. Let the poor needy praise thy name. Arise, O God, plead thine own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproacheth thee daily. Forget not the voice of thine enemies, the tumult of those that rise up against thee increaseth continually. A lot of things that we could say here about the scriptures. A lot of revelation in this. I'd like to remind you of one scripture here. It says, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. When thou awakest, sounds like God's asleep. When thou awakest, then thou shalt despise their image. It is a true fact that God is asleep as to the judgment and the punishing of the wicked. He hath put himself asleep to the extent he doesn't see, as I've said so many times to you, when he looks out upon the people and the world, he doesn't see the wickedness. He hath brought the blood of his own son up before him and placed it as an atonement to where he cannot see the wickedness of men. The Bible says that God cannot look upon iniquity, which is very true. For when you search God out to find out what is meant by that, you find that God cannot look upon iniquity because God is the great light, and iniquity is that of conception in darkness. And because of this, God, who is the great light, cannot get near iniquity. For as light cannot get near darkness, then God cannot get near iniquity. Light cannot get near darkness, because wherever light is, darkness is no more. And so then God cannot look upon iniquity, because wherever God is, there is no iniquity. All things turn into righteousness. Wherever God goes, everything turns into purity. So God is the great light. He hath no fellowship with iniquity. And the Bible tells us that if we regard iniquity in our heart, then he will not hear us. So then he hath put the blood between his creation and him, because his creation hath fallen from the world of light. And for God to continue to spare them, and for God to continue to multiply and replenish the earth, this has to be. Therefore God does not come nigh them except through the blood. And when he looks on them through the blood, then he doesn't see their iniquity or their wrong. But it says here, O God, when thou awakest. This is like a sleep unto God, like a dream, like the days of Joseph, when Joseph had his dreams, and when Pharaoh had the dreams, and when Joseph interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh. So then this is like a dream to God, and Jesus, like Joseph, must interpret this to God. And God listens for the interpretation of this dream. But one day God will awake. One day the blood will come off of the seat of atonement. When we have finished our work and finished doing what we're supposed to do, the church world has come to an end, then the blood will come off of the seat of atonement, and God will no longer be looking at the world through the blood of Jesus. And he will then all of a sudden come to an awakening. And the very moment that he awakes, according to the Bible, over in the book of Revelation, we're told that the very moment that he comes forth, iniquity vanishes away. He literally consumes with wrath everything that is in a state of iniquity. And with the brightness of his coming, it is the consummation of the perverted and of all things that are in darkness and all things that are evil and all things that are wicked. Just as quick as he comes forth as the great light, the earth flees away. And there is no place for it, because it hath become contaminated. The heavens flee away. The earth flees away. The mountains flee away. The ocean has been contaminated. It flees away. Everything flees away. It just goes away at his coming, when he awaketh. When we awake, the sunshine comes. Over the horizon comes the sunshine, and we awake. So the day star dawns. He said here that when I awake, I will despise thine image, because it is a bastard image. It is an image of iniquity. It is an image that is contrary to God. It is born to the first man Adam into sin and into iniquity. And that image is there. It is an image to be despised.
But they that have been born again, they that have taken on the name of Jesus, and they that have taken on the life of Christ, they that have been born again, they that are bearing the image of the heavenly, God will love them and lead them into the wonderful kingdom and riches of Christ. For the Bible said he will give them as a jewel, spare them as a sun. And in that hour when he appears, they by this great light, rather than being destroyed, shall suddenly be changed into his glory. And the inner glory of the spiritual man shall be made manifest. And all of the world shall see the beauties, the wonders, and the riches, and the splendor, and the magnificence of that man of God that is hid within the veil of the flesh. For at his coming, they shall suddenly change into his image. And that glorious image is the body of the Lord Jesus. Peter said, as we've borne the image of the earthly, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. And at that moment, we take on the image of the heavenly. But those that are not born again, those that do not have the Spirit of God on the inside of them, at that moment, all of a sudden, at that moment, at that very moment, they shall utterly be consumed. So it's so beautiful here to think about what is meant, as David said, when thou awakest. Right here, I'd love to just comment a little bit about the situation that's happening, the things that's taking place. There's a lot of things that's taking place. One of the things that we spoke of the other night is that time has come to an end. I'd like to dwell on that for just a few minutes, and maybe you wouldn't, maybe you wouldn't quite understand what I was saying when I say time has come to an end. Maybe you wouldn't understand what is meant by that, or how that time could come to an end. But I'd like to comment on it just a little bit, tied in with a few things that's happening. First of all, look at the PTL situation. And I say PTL because it is one of the most famous programs probably in all of the world, and is on more television stations probably, as much or more than any program in the world. So you look at it, now it's in the paper. On the radio, everywhere, people are talking about PTL. A long time back, a number of years ago, I told you, I said, brethren, I said, I want you to watch real close, because someday, I said, all of a sudden, the light of this wonderful message is going to begin to break forth. The day star, I said, is going to dawn in your heart. I said, and at the time that this happens, I said, all of these people that have an intellectual conception of religion, and I named them down the line, many of them, I said, they're going to begin to fight with each other. I said, as it was in the days of Gideon, when Gideon and the men that followed him broke the clay pitchers, I said, just as soon as those clay pitchers was broken, the light began to shine. I said, and when the light began to shine, they that were down in the valley, I said, they begin to be blinded by the light, and they begin to fight one another. And sure enough, just as this light has come out, it's been going out on the radio and going out through TV, it's been going out through tent meetings and different things, this light has been dawning. See, and as this light has been dawning, all of a sudden, there are many people that's come out with writings and sayings and preachings and whatever concerning this great light. And like Brother Gerald Whitlow said, he said this great light, when he saw it, it caused him to fall on his face. Said he lost his balance. And of course, Gerald did. And he said he was a while before he could gain his balance. So when this great light comes, a lot of times you lose your balance. And so then this great light spreading out, all of a sudden, these people are becoming blinded. They've done their thing. They've run their course. They've been religious. And now they are beginning to fight one another. See, what I'm saying is this, that they are caught in a web. Every one of them, like an animal, has put his paw out. Like David said here in the book of Psalms, said, like beast. If you're not a son of God, then you are a beast. And they put their paw out, as we say. And they've got stuck in the money web. the money web. This one is caught in the money web. And that one is caught in the money web. And this one is caught in the money web. And the others are caught in the money web. And even here at Bethlehem, so many of these that come to Bethlehem. And different people that come in and out of Bethlehem are caught in the money web. I know we like to look at PTL. And we love to look at Jimmy Swaggart and Oral Roberts and the different ones. Jerry Fowle, Rex Humbard, and so many of them. We like to look at them and say, yep, caught in the money web. But still, at the same time here at Bethlehem, there's numbers of people that have their minds on money and have their minds on business and fame and popularity, and they too are caught in the money web. So then they're looking for the very same thing. They're doing the very same thing. Seeing people all over the world, it's a money web. Now, let's talk about it for just a few minutes. So then, people are really getting in trouble. And when this thing comes out, and like PTL, when the spider web begins to fall, then everybody begins to fall with it. They don't have any part of it. But the thing is, this part of the web goes to this part of the web. And this part of the web goes to that part of the web. And eventually, all of them are caught in it. Like the hush money that was given to the woman. It was stated that the woman made the statement. She said, these men that are doing all the talking said, they're not God. Said, they don't know what happened. She said, all of it will eventually come out. And she talked like it's a real mess. So then they're trying to keep her away from the papers. But see, in spite of all of that, she'll take that $300,000 and Hollywood may come along and offer her $1 million to make a move and expose the whole thing. Because, see, she's right in the middle of it, and PTL is so famous that it would be such a seller until it would be money-making all over the world. So then, what is this? You would say, maybe you would say to me, you would say, Brother Pike, what is this? What do you mean by this? So then we say, what is this? I tell you what it is. It's the second heaven that we spoke of. We spoke of the first heaven and the second heaven. And I told you, I said, there is no such thing as a second heaven. There is no such thing as a second heaven except for the fact that it has been constituted by the grace of God to the extent that Lucifer, which is referred to as the serpent, has climbed up into the upper lintel. He's climbed up into the upper lintel, and going into the upper lintel, then that means that he has gotten up into the religious activities of life. He's now living in the religious activities of life, and he's up here in this place to where he can set as the sun of the morning. That is, from the dawning of God, from the third heaven, when the light of God shines, Lucifer is like the sun coming over the horizon. He is up here in this place, and when the light of God comes, then Satan, being a reflector, he reflects that light. He catches that light. Just as soon as that light comes up from the third heaven, then Lucifer reflects that light. And the way that he does that is through a scientific definement. He does that through an intellectual thing. He does that through education. Or when you speak of light, you're speaking of knowledge. You're speaking of understanding. Light in this world. There's a natural world, a natural light. There's a spiritual world, there's a spiritual light. Everything natural has something that it is speaking of. And that is a spiritual thing. So then Paul said, all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear, even the eternal Godhead, so that we are without excuse. And so then we see this thing, we see the second heaven. There is a second heaven. And in this heaven, Lucifer dwells. And this is why that the Son of God came down from the third heaven. He came down so that he could come down to earth, be made like a human being, come down into the likeness of sinful flesh, and then rise between heaven and earth to hang here at Calvary on a tree. The Bible said, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree, and to take away our curse, he come to hang upon the tree, because the curse comes from the tree in the garden, the tree of knowledge. And so then Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And so then the tree is lifted up. And Christ is hanging between heaven and earth. And we see it, as I say so often, as a cross. For one part of the tree is going straight up like this. And another part of the tree is running across like this. So then we see that it is a cross to represent to you and I that something is leaving the first heaven, which has to do with the earth, and it's headed for the third heaven, and it has to cross the second heaven. And at the second heaven, this is where the battle comes in. You cannot go from here up there to where God is. You can't do that. I can't do that. As a human being in this world, or born in this world, I can't do that. Because the devil is the prince of this world. Lucifer is the god of this world. And he is ruling over us. That's where your sun rim comes in, your second rim. As do the stars, the sun, and the moon. So then, you cannot get up there because Lucifer is ruling and reigning there. Now, in this, in that he is ruling and reigning, we can't get past that. And they that are over yonder can't get down here where we're at. See, they can't get down here where we're at. It's like the great gulf that was between those that were in the lower place and those that were in the heavenly place. See, there is a great gulf. If I started from here, this earth, if I started from here to the moon, I would have to cross a great gulf. They can't find the bottom to that place out there. The astronauts have to cross over that. See, and this is what I'm speaking of, going from the earth up to the third heaven. Then there is a crossing as a great gulf. Lucifer, the prince of darkness, is dwelling there. So then, being in that place, God had to do something. Now look at it for just a minute and see if what we're telling is true. See, the serpent has climbed up into the upper lintel. I brought that out on tape where he climbed up. Showed where he climbed up. The Bible speaks of man as being a worm, saying, I will help thee, thy worm Jacob. And so then, in the first stages, it is a worm, as we would say, concerning the butterfly. And it is like a cocoon. And then comes the time of the metamorphosis. And then when it breaks open, it changes into a flighty heavenly creature. And it's no more bound by the gravitational powers of earth. See, that is to say, is to go on its belly. And in the fall of the garden, every person has fallen from the grace of God. Because Adam fell, so did we fall. And in Adam all die. So then we come from the first man Adam in our first birth. All of us die. We're like, as the Bible refers to it, we're like the cocoon. Or we're like the worm that is Jacob. See, and in our first stages, we're bound to the earth. We're placed on our belly. For the Bible said God placed the serpent on his belly. And anything that refers back to the serpent or relates to the serpent is placed on his belly. And the Bible said all of man's labor is for his belly because his belly craves it of him. That is, in his first birth, he's nothing but a worm. That's all. I will help thee, thy worm Jacob. So then, when we pass that, get beyond that, and go into the stages of the metamorphosis, then we begin to shell off. Then we begin to leave that old worm stage. We begin to get out of that old mind of confinement of lust and the gullible desires of the world. And we find ourselves a flighty creature, a heavenly creature. We become spiritual. This old cocoon breaks open and the interspiritual being comes out in his radiant beauty in the glory of the knowledge of God and the sunlight of heaven with the rainbow colors of the covenant of God that God has made with him and placed within his heart, even the attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, this is the beauty of what God is doing. So we see that there is a second heaven. There is a second heaven, and the second heaven is here only because there is what we call grace, or the blood of Jesus Christ on the seat of atonement. If there was no blood on the seat of atonement, there would be no second heaven. But in that God had to spare you and I, in that we've sinned, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the soul that sinneth shall surely die, Man having sinned, God had to give forth the great light of his blessings of the glory of God so that this wonderful Shekinah could come over us as it did Adam and Eve, so that in this he could protect us during this period of time while we're waiting for the metamorphosis. That is to say, while this great light is upon us, this great knowledge of God is with us, while we are in this transitional change of life, God has to protect us by keeping the blood on the seat of atonement and bringing the blessings of God down upon us, as we say, the rain on the unjust. So then the rain is on the just, but the rain is also on the unjust. Even sons and daughters prophesy. People receive their healing, all because the rain of God is coming down upon humanity. So then we're under the Shekinah. God had to restore it. It was taken away from Adam and Eve, and then God had to come forth and restore it to protect us. God hasn't done this because he loves the wicked. And this is the era of the wicked, and this is the way that the wicked misunderstand. The wicked get it in their mind that God is a loving God, a kind God, a good God, and because God is a good God, then God has made the way for them, and they don't have to worry about it. God's going to take care of them. And sure enough, during this time, when the blood is on the seat of atonement, it does show the goodness of God. It does show the love of God. And God has sacrificed his own son, Jesus Christ, showing what great love that is, so that people could have the blessings of God to this extent, that you and I, as Christians, may have the blessings of God and the protection of God till we can change from the state of life that we're born into the wonderful kingdom of God. Until we can come forth to the washing of the regeneration, our changed generations from Adam's generation to Christ's generation, and come into this wonderful knowledge of eternal life. So then God has given life. God has given the blessings. God has poured out of his substance upon us, and the wicked get in the presence of God. See, like it was in the days of Lucifer when he went up before God in the days of Job, and Lucifer went up before God in those days, it was still the days of Lucifer because it was the days of the law. It was the days of death. And that law still continues past Calvary as to the days of Lucifer to every person that's not born again. So then that means Lucifer, or Satan, the fallen angel, is living in human bodies. And it is Satan's world, and it is the day of Lucifer. And he is the god of this world. So then, if you are fallen from the grace of God, you're under the law, and you're in the world of Lucifer, because it is the world. It is the day of Lucifer. It is the world of Lucifer. He is the god of this world. And everyone that has not been born again, they are not in that wonderful world of God. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, said, you'll never be able to see the kingdom of God unless you're born into it, because it's another world. You've got to get in through the door, Christ Jesus. You've got to get into that world. And if you don't get into that world, you're never going to see it. I'm born into this world, but I'm born into this world to die, because this is a temporal life. But when I'm born into that world, I'm born into there to live. I cannot die, because that is eternal life. So then, I can't sin, because if I could sin, I would die. And if I could die, I wouldn't have eternal life. And John tells me that I have eternal life. Already I've passed from death unto life. And he says here in the first book of John, he says, and ye have eternal life. Ye now have eternal life. You're already the sons of God, and you have eternal life. So then I said that to say this, that we realize that there is a second heaven. Between heaven and earth, there is a second heaven. Jesus was lifted up to make a door through this thing, so there could be a second heaven. So then in this second heaven, we look at it and we wonder how the devil got there. We read in the book of Revelation, and John said he beheld this thing. He said, I looked into heaven and I saw a woman with child. And I saw this woman travailing in birth to be delivered. And I saw a great red dragon that was right there to devour the child just as quick as it was born. Said, and I saw this in heaven. Said, this was in heaven. See, and I say again to you, the red dragon means the blood life. They're called the people that are not Christians are called a generation of vipers, which is the old dragon. And it's called the red dragon because it is the blood life. The life is imprisoned within the blood of the worm, as God referred to it talking to Jacob. So then God's life is imprisoned by a natural human being. That life is imprisoned. God did not give that to a natural human being. See, God did not give that life to a natural human being. He gave that life to Adam. He created a blood cell that was holy and godly. And he placed life within there. And that life was his own breath. And the Bible said God breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils. And he became a living soul. And this is what I tell you a lot of times. See, when God breathed the breath of life into mankind, man became a living soul, and man today is nothing but a breath of life. If you knock the breath of life out of him, man's dead. If you hold his nose and mouth and don't let him breathe, man dies. You put him under the water to where he can't get the breath of life, man dies. Because all that he has is the breath of life. And that breath of life going in and out his nostrils, going down into his lungs, coming into his heart, into his bloodstream, illuminates the bloodstream, and the oxygen is what keeps him alive. And of course, we could go into a lot of things concerning that. We have some messages, if you remember, that tells about the compounds of the body and the chemistry of the body of how this thing reacts after God did it. So then, it means that there is a second heaven. That second heaven is there. See, man became a living soul. When he became a living soul, this body, all of a sudden, the Son of God, Adam, he was the Son of God. The Bible says he was the Son of God. All of a sudden, this Adam, the Son of God, was overtaken by a beast nature through the weakness of his body. It was by his body that this happened. His wife was his body. His wife was bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And it was by his wife that this thing happened. By his body that this thing happened. And so then he was brought down to a beast level when he was a son of God. So then overshadowed by the Shekinah glory, he was a son of God. But when the Shekinah lifted, then he was no longer the son of God. He was Adam, the fallen one. So then when the Shekinah went away, God does not speak of him as the Son of God. It does not speak of him as Jesus who comes as the Son of God, saying, I am the Prince of Life, but I come that you might have life and that more abundantly. It says, contrary to that, it said, in Adam all die. In Christ all is made alive. Well, that is the restoration of life comes in Adam, the second man Adam. So then we see that this life went into an imprisonment. It went into an imprisonment called a human being, which is nothing more than a beast. It's a worm. It's the serpent. In the garden, it was the beast. That was the beast. The Bible said the most subtle among all the beasts. And this beast enticed Eve. And when the enticement came, then the life of Adam, which was in Eve, in that was Adam's flesh, Adam's bone, Adam's body. The life that was in Adam was taken into captivity through the weakness of his members, which was Eve. And that web of evil, the infiltration of Lucifer, a spiritual life, a fallen angel, the infiltration of going into the body of the woman, then conveying this over through the mind to Adam, soon had the body in captivity. And so then it became a beast because the mind of it was no longer the overshadowing mind of Almighty God as to a son of God, but it was the mind of Lucifer. The mind of Lucifer had gotten into the beast, and now man was a beast. He had fallen down to the beast realm. A lot we could say about that. One night we brought out some things concerning the fall, how far down he fell and how that they had to make their way back. That would take a lot of time to go into that. But anyway, from that time, God could do nothing at all except to pour out of his blessings upon man by means of killing beasts. See, the life was now in the blood, and the blood was now in the beast. So the precious life of God being entombed within the beast, within the blood, God had to do something. And God longed for that life to come back to him. Because this mind that had taken control of this life was using it in a perverted way. Look at a rat. That's perverted. It's life, but see, there's a mind that causes perversion. And Satan, having control of the mind of Adam, our humanity, had life in bondage and was holding that life in bondage within the bloodstream. And that's why that blood corrupts. A lot we could say about that, the bloodline, the royal blood. But coming on down, we find that this life had to be protected. And there wasn't but one way that God could protect it, even beginning back as far as Cain and Abel. There had to be blood spilled. That's why that Abel had to die, is so that Cain might live. God taking the just for the unjust. That was the only way that God could do it. And all down through the years, there was animals that was killed. Always an animal that was killed. And God kept seeking for a harmless animal. Because in the killing of the animal, God could take the body and burn the body, or burn the flesh outside, doing away with that. See, in the innocency of the beast, the blood could be spilt as an atonement. And then the life that was in the beast could go back to God who gave it, in that the Bible said it, death, the spirit, going back to God who gave it, and it would symbolize that you and I were protected, that God was still turning that life loose, spilling the blood, turning the life loose, killing the beast. And down through the ages it has come, pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. But see, it pointed toward a human being. It pointed toward an image that someday there had to be a human image, which was a beast. Jesus coming down in the form of a beast. Coming down in the form of a beast because people are nothing but beasts in their first birth. Coming down in the form of a beast, taking on the likeness of sinful nature. Not sinning at all, no sin within him, innocent. God created another blood cell that was innocent, and then God brought forth a human image that was unto you and I a beast. And so then, lifting this beast up, as God lifted it up, God bringing that body to Calvary, bringing it there, God had to take the life of a human being, because that's what it was. That's what started it. That's where the sin was. And God had to spill the blood of a human being. And that blood had to be innocent blood. That's why Judas cried out, "I betrayed innocent blood." That's why Jesus said, "The prince of this world cometh, but he hath no part in me." He's never got into this bloodstream. And that's why God could start a new generation. Washing of the water by baptism of regeneration, of the spiritual water of God, bringing life again into a new bloodstream. So then Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God. That was the beginning of the creation of God. Even in the garden, it was Christ. It was the Son of God. And when Adam fell from that image in which he was made, which was Christ, then Adam went out into the darkness of the intellectual reasoning as to the beast world. But in the return of it, here comes back Christ. See, the Christ, in that one that was made in the image of Christ, was the body that was lost, which was the wife. And now he's coming looking for his wife. See, Adam was the woman. And God only made a woman and a man to give a type of what had taken place, so that we could intellectually understand and conceive the thought of what had happened. But it was really God, the Holy Spirit, and a human body. And the feminine part is the man that's in the world. So then in this, the Spirit, the quickening Spirit, the great Shekinah image that had lifted, all of a sudden came seeking and searching for that human body, which was the wife. And the dispute has always been over the body. Because the Holy Spirit disputes and says, "This is my creation, this is my wife, this is my body." And Lucifer, within the body, rebelling back, says it's my body. I'm the prince of this world. I own this world. I took it over from Adam. I'm the one that owns it. And it's made out of the dust and the molecules of this world. So the dispute goes on. One right after another, continually. There's a continual warfare, the Bible said, between the inner man and the outer man. That is to say, when we are born again, then there's a continual dispute because Christ enters into our heart. And God is trying to redeem this body and move our mind from thought to thought, from glory to glory, from faith to faith as to the hearing of the word. And we're tutored by the minister that he might redeem the body, for the body is what's referred to as the purchased possession. It is the purchased possession. That is to say, God purchased this body at Calvary, but we've never with the redemption of it. Though the price has been paid for the redemption, and though we're redeemed by the blood, as the song says, the blood of the Lamb, I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, grace is mine, or Christ is mine. I'm redeemed by his love divine. But see, the thing is, though we are, yet in spite of all of this, we've not with this redemption. And the reason that we haven't with this redemption is because we have never been taught these things that God is beginning to bring forth. We've never been taught this. It was out of school. It was out of age. Paul said, I saw this in the third heaven, but I couldn't bring it forth. He said, there's a mystery, a great mystery that you've got to come into. Behold, we shall not all sleep. That is, we won't die. As the Bible said, when the Lord awakes in the morning. So then we shall not all sleep. We shall not all die because there's the mystery. At 10 and 7, according to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, it said, and in that time that the last trump will sound and the mysteries of God will be finished in that hour. That very hour when the trump goes to sound, then the mysteries of God will be finished and then we'll begin to wit. We'll begin to wit, as we say. See, there is a sounding of the trumpet that will come forth from the spiritual world. And this is the spiritual move of God as to the spiritual Jew of God and the spiritual sounding of the trumpet. And in this we'll begin to wit. We'll begin to come into the mystery. And suddenly we will begin to acknowledge that we do not have to die. So then this great thing is taking place. What is this? It's creating a war in heaven. A lot of things I'd like to say tonight, I probably won't get to say them, but I'm going to comment a little bit anyway. There's a war in heaven. That's what's happening to PTL. All of these other ministers. See, this is the hour of the light. This is the hour of the expose. This is the hour of the dawning. You see, the world turning like it does. And you see the stars bright and brilliant. You see the moonlight. You look up around you, you see the shadows. Because they've not got on this side of Calvary when you look at the dark. You're still in the dark. You're waiting for that midnight cry. And then the dawning comes in. The midnight cry. And all of a sudden, if you're standing out there, you can see the stars. It looks like they're all falling from heaven. It looks like the moon is falling from heaven. Because all of a sudden, see, the red dragon is being cast out. The moon turning into blood, the Bible said. And the stars coming down with it. And you see, as the world turns over this way, then the heavens is going this way. They're going down into darkness, going out of sight. I've watched them, even the stars. I've stood and watched the stars as they dropped until they dropped clear out of sight. And see, they're going out of sight. Why is that? Because it is the night time that we have been through. And it has been death and we've been asleep. And now we pass that midnight cry. At the cock crowing, something is beginning to happen. The day star is beginning to come in. So then, as the dawning of the day star begins to come, which is the sun, all of a sudden the stars of the night begin to slip away. All of the lights begin to slip away. And then, looking over here, over the horizon comes the beautiful sunlight of the early dawning. And we see this great day star coming, and we all begin to awake. All of us become ambitious. All of us get strengthened. Our life begins to enter into that still form that's been laying there through the night. And up we come from the grave, as we would say. See, this is the hour in which we're living. Speaking of natural things, showing spiritual, this is the hour in which we're living. All of those lights that you have seen out there has been in the second heaven. And the Bible said heaven's going to pass away. Earth is going to pass away. That means this, that the first heaven that had to do with the earth is going to pass away. That bit is the heaven up here, the second heaven, is going to pass away. And nothing's going to be left but the third heaven. And that which was the first heaven down here is going to be united with that third heaven. And the middle wall of partition is going to be torn down. It's just going to be one heaven, that's all. So then we see that it's beginning to pass away. That's what this is out here. It's blood on the seat of atonement. It's the grace of God. Everywhere there's grace of God. For the Bible said Jesus died to take away the sins of the world. In the book of John it says that. So then we see the grace. The grace is on everybody. The rain is coming down on all. Not because God loves the wicked. Not because God strengthens the wicked in what they're doing, or God makes allowance for the wicked, but God is making allowance for you and I, for the Christian, for the body of God, for the reproduction under that which is to come as to yet the elect that has never yet been born in the world. And God is making allowance, and all the time God is angry through Jesus with the wicked every day. Their offerings is the abomination in the sight of God. Their prayers is the abomination in the sight of God. God is angry with them all the time and waits for that moment when David said, when the Lord awakes, he shall despise their image. So then, the rain is coming down to spare you and I. But because of having to spare you and I, in that we're in our first birth, in that we're going through this transitional change, is coming up from the first man, Adam, God has to make allowance for our mistakes, for our errors, for our stumblings, for our sins. And in doing that, he has to make an allowance out there. You know, you see this in government a lot of times. People that are out there, the government, the law, the people that are up in that other side of life, see, they are making laws. Those laws affect them. They didn't make them for them. They was trying to get us under bondage, trying to put us in a trap, trying to get control of us. But every time they make a law, it falls on them because they are a human being and they have to abide by the law. And then they start getting loopholes, like the big rich men of the world. They start getting tax shelters, writing things out, working things out, hiring lawyers to get out from under that thing while they hold us in bondage to it. See, that's the way of the world. So it is in the reverse with God. God has to give grace to the wicked, not because he wants to. He would tear them into pieces. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, out there in the end, the Bible said he makes the blood runs to the horse's bridle. Somebody would say, yeah, but Brother Pike, that's out there in the end after God thinks it all over and after God makes up his mind. There ain't no such thing as that. God, before the world ever was, his mind was made up. He never changes his mind. He's angry with the wicked every day. He told Moses in his day, he said, I shall in no wise acquit the wicked. He said, I don't care who stands before me, Moses. And when it comes to blotting the man's name out of the book of life, he said, I'll blot the man's name out that does the evil. And so then when God gets over here, he's the same over here in the end of the world that he was in the beginning of the world. He would have slayed those people back there in the beginning. The Bible said at the time of Moses, he let the earth open up and swallow them up. And they went down into the pit quickly. See, there was thousands of them that was killed. But what it is, God is trying to protect you and I. God gave Calvary and gave the blood on the seat of atonement to protect you and I, to give the church ages so that we could develop into the church, into the bride of Christ. And even before the world ever was, the Bible said this was given to us in Christ before the world ever was. And then brought to an expose, which is a revelation, or brought to light at the rent veil, which is Calvary. So then God is angry with the wicked every day. So this is how the second heaven got in. Is that God was forced to protect the wicked that he might protect you. And so then in doing this, God allows that to go on until we all transformate into this light. And then God comes and with the brightness of his coming, he destroys the perverted image. He does away with the perverted image. And you and I, being the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, he alone dwells in that light under which mankind cannot approach unto. So then we transformate, we translate, we transfigure at our last state of change into the great light, and the light swallows us up and we become one with the light, while the light causes everything else to dissipate and go away into nothing, into oblivion. So then I said that to say this. See, that second heaven is beginning to fall now. All of this that you see, they are intellectual in their religion. That is an intellectual conception of religion. They have intellectually indoctrinated themselves. They quote the Bible. They go to Bible school. They go to college. Many of them are Pentecostals as well as those that are educated. And they shout and they jump and they holler. And they indoctrinate themselves in ideology of religion and still gets into the triumph and glory of the flesh. And still hollering and going on in the flesh, giving all the glory to the flesh. They don't know nothing about God. They don't grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. They don't conform in their outer man to holiness and righteousness and godliness to bring forth their fruits unto eternal life. They don't have the nature of Christ as to produce from the inner man this wonderful fruit that comes through the tree of this which lives on the outside. And so then they are intellectually indoctrinated. So that means that they are reflectors. It means they're not born to the Spirit. They're under the Shekinah of the grace of God by means of the blood atonement. And so they're the same as Adam and Eve. And they can be enticed, and they are being enticed out from under this wonderful glory. And the Bible said, during the time of this grace, men are turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. They're taking full advantage of the grace to do the things of the flesh and to live filthy and still count beads and expect some priest to pray away their sins or some minister to come up with his collar turned backwards, as we say it, and I'm not criticizing that kind of dress, but come up and they stand before the audience and they pervert their minds and they make the people believe that everything's all right when everything's all wrong. And the Bible said, calling darkness light. Woe be unto that person. So then when you think of it, the second heaven is falling. All of that intellectual concept of religion, all of that money world, the God of money, the God of mammon, that whole world is beginning to cave in. See, it's beginning to go down. Look at the IRS. The IRS is on the trail of all these money-making fellas. They're right on the trail, just eating them up. They didn't do that in years gone by, but God's letting them do it now because it's time for Lucifer's kingdom to come down. And they're on the trail. They're eating them up. They're just eating them up. I told you, I said, now watch, folks, and see if I'm telling you right. I said, judgment begins at the house of God, and God will let them attack the house of God. And they'll run this Jim Jones thing all over the country. And when they can't find anything with the true house of God, then God will turn away from the house of God with this thing and let them people go out there and eat the world up, ball players and everything else. Look at them. They're hitting the president. They hit the senator. Oh, there with Talage and others. They've hit the ball games. They're hitting everything, everywhere. Because, see, it's time for Lucifer's kingdom to come down. So then this religious bunch of people are beginning to come down. Just like somebody was telling me today, somebody was mocking PTL while they were trying to talk to them. So I'm not like that praise the Lord bunch. Folks, don't let that move your faith. If you love God, you still love God. If you're clean, you're still clean. If you're holy, you're still holy. Don't let that thing move you. All of that's got to come down so that our light will shine the brighter. See, all of that fake has got to come down. Like they made a little thing of Oral Roberts and they put a dollar bill out there and put across the top of it, said, the unbridled fakes of America. Now, that was their saying. So then, I'm just saying this. We should rejoice. We should look up, for our redemption draweth near. That means that we are beginning to comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, the length. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation that you can do this. We're beginning to comprehend the body, the redemption. Said, look up, your redemption is near. You're beginning to comprehend. Getting to that generation that's going to bypass death. Death, the enemy that is to be conquered. Already been conquered. For the Bible said that Christ has destroyed him that hath power over death, having cast him down, having destroyed the works of the devil. For this cause came Jesus into the world, to destroy the works of the devil, which is sin, which is the transgression of the law. All unrighteousness is sin, but all unrighteousness is transgression of the law. And the Bible said God is faithful to forgive us of all of our unrighteousness if we confess our sins. So then Jesus manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And my, what could be said about that? Going on a little farther, kind of bring us up to date as to what's happening now. Now, we look around this and we see the signs of the time. The wicked doesn't know this. They don't know when it's near at hand. Like in the darkness, gross darkness, intellectual reasoning is over them. See, and they don't understand this. So then, they will not know when this day is nigh at hand. But we're children of understanding, the gospel, the life. We know when it's near at hand, even at the door. So we see it's at the door. And here it is. All of this web of money is coming down. And these religious lights, the Bible said God created and set lights in the heavens. These lights were there. Lights in the night. And then the day star. And he said these were for signs and for seasons. And now we see the lights coming down. The devil, the end of the world, the revelation coming. He curled his tail around the third part of the star. He cast them down to earth. Why the tail? I brought it out the other day. This is the end of humanity. This is the end of the worm. This is the end of the serpent. He's down at the end. It was the beginning of it back there with Adam. And now he's getting down to the end. So this is, he's curling his tail around the third part of the stars. That is Lucifer, Satan, in the bloodstream. He's working in there. He's curling his tail. The last part of him is going to cast down all of those lights. See, all of those lights, they got to come down. A lot of people think that when Antichrist comes, he's going to be a preacher, he's going to be a fake, he's going to be somebody that's going to deceive the whole world by preaching and being religious. And I think, Lord, how ignorant can people be? How ignorant can a man get? How ignorant can a woman get? See, it doesn't say that he's going to be that at all. If we read our Bible, we find out that he's going to be Antichrist. He's going to be anti to everything that's good, everything that's godly. He is an antichrist. The Bible teaches that he'll hate religion. He'll hate people that talk about religion. He'll hate the Jews. He'll hate everything that's like God. And the Bible said he'll blaspheme the name of God. He'll actually blaspheme the name of God. He's going to be bitter. He won't even have the desire for women. The Bible said, and he'll do his own thing. And he'll have... the thing that he will be looking for is power. He'll want power, not the kind of power that you and I speak of as the power of Christ, but he'll want power according to money power and according to riches and fame and popularity. And he'll want power according to the control over humanity. He'll want to control humanity. So then, it's nothing to do with religion. See, he's antichrist, he's cruel, he's wretched, and he pounces on everything that's like God. That's what's moving in right now. See, and PTL and the others are catching, they're catching this thing as the Antichrist comes forth through the governmental powers of IRS and whatever. This thing is beginning to build all over the world. See, and these religious followers are beginning to catch this because they've been hypocrites. They've lived in hypocrisy. They've been parasites. They've been proselytes. And all of a sudden, they're beginning to reap that thing. God said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Because you are in between. And so then the web is coming down. The lights are beginning to go out. The second heaven will be no more. It will be a place of darkness. Because when the religious lights leave the second heaven, then there won't be any heaven. God has only let those people be there as a reflector. In the heavens up here above us, there's a lot of reflectors. They reflect light. See, they reflect light. Like the moon, it reflects light. And when the sun goes away, everything up there is dark except the true lights, which is the stars that are a burning flame, not just nickel and rock. So then when this light from God begins to withdraw, all of that nickel and rock, as we say, begins to fall. And the stars shall fall from heaven. And through that friction will fall, they will break all to pieces because of the gravitational reactions. And they will burst into flame, and they will go into pieces and be fire and brimstone raining down upon the world. The whole thing will just blow to pieces from the atom or the atomic change as through the atomic particles, and it will be nothing but fire and brimstone rain down from heaven. So then the second heaven is coming down. The reason it's coming down is because the blood is coming off the seat of atonement. God is taking the blood off of the seat of atonement
because it's time for the second heaven to be no more. Right now, the church is in the second heaven. Somebody would say, where is the second heaven? It's all around you. PTL, all these other kind of things. See, it's all around you. Even here at Bethlehem, it's still second heaven. All those people that's in there, all over the world, it's the second heaven. See, because those people that are born in the flesh, as long as they have grace, as long as the blood is on the seat of atonement, it is the second heaven. And they're nothing but religious reflectors. They belong to the Baptist, the Pentecostal, the Methodist, the Catholic, whatever. See, and it's just an intellectual conception of religion. There's nothing as to the fire of God and the light of God on the inside. There's nothing on the inside burning as to tell them what's right and what's wrong. And they do all the things of the world. They indulge in ball games. They indulge in frolics. They're going all over the world with the love of the flesh. And the Bible said if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. They love money. They love education. They love prestige. They love ball games. They love social benefits. They love to be up in the world as a celebrity. They love the things of the world. Satan savors the things that be of the world. And as the woman that was in travail, that old red dragon, the blood life, the educational system, the intellectual conception of God is laying right there ready to grab that child. And I've said it so many times, you get a person into the church, you get a person into the things of God, and before you can really get them indoctrinated and bring them to the things of the spiritual way of God and the spiritual way of life, that old intellectual, educated devil gets up there, whether he's a preacher or whether he's a deacon or laity or whatever, that old red dragon, the life that's in the blood, he gets in there with his educational system and he tells him what a good ball player he would make and how he's needed in the ball games and how he could be a great social star in the world or some great celebrity in the world. And before that individual knows it, the mind is perverted, and down he goes. See, devouring that child. But that real child of God that's coming forth, it's the third heaven. It's the mind of Christ. It's not an educational system. It's not a tree of knowledge. It's by faith, and all of them that are born of God have a good understanding. And so then up he goes, instead of going down, instead of listening to that old scientific reasoning of that psychiatrist side of life, instead of a psychological approach into religion, they reject that and they come into the mind of God and they listen to the mind of God and they get into the Spirit and they get into the revelation and they pray for the Spirit of revelation. And as Paul said, they become spiritual and they could care less about the world and the ball games and money and prestige and passions and gullible desire. They just excel and keep going up, up, up into the great Spirit of God, right into the presence of God and the mind of the Lord Jesus, and find themselves up here elevated above all the world, looking at all the world in their era. And here they are. Why? They've been translated into heaven. They've been caught up. They've been chosen out of the world. They're no longer in the flesh. The flesh is dead and buried. And here they are in the kingdom of God. And here they are in heaven up here. See, rejoicing and enjoying the things of God while they look at the error and the corruption of the world. They're not of the world. See, because the world goes on past Calvary. The law, the transgression, the law that works wrath. See, but they went out through the door. A door open in heaven, John said. Jesus said, I'm the door. Peter unlocked it. Out they went into heaven. See, and they're up here in the mind of Christ. They're in the third mind. They went into the third heaven. That's the man child. See, and the body, that old body of the worm, that old cocoon is left behind. See, it was buried in a watery grave in the name of Jesus Christ when remission of sin came and their sins was done away with. And Christ made an end of sin. See, and it was taken away. They can never sin again because they are then in heaven. See, in that world, they can't sin because there's no sin in that world. And every person that goes up, they're caught up in Christ. The kingdom of heaven goes within. That is to say, their inner man, their inner spirit goes into the Spirit of Christ. And the Spirit of Christ abides in them, begins to lodge in them. And it's the kingdom of God on the inside of this body here. And the spirit of man is inside of Christ, which is inside of the kingdom of God. And we abide in Him, and in Him is there's no sin. So then we find ourselves clean from the things of the world. We find ourselves having been born again. We find ourselves out from under the law. And we find ourselves sons and daughters of God. Not not sinning, not dying, not in corruption, can't be wrong. No matter what happens, the Bible said, blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. And blessed is the man whose sins are covered, iniquities forgiven. Blessed is the man unto whom God imputeth faith for righteousness, or righteousness without works, or that is to say, by the works of Jesus Christ. The second heaven is coming down now. It's beginning to crumble. Why? Because the days of the Gentiles is over. I told you that. See, it's over. It's closing out now. It's coming to an end. So the blood's got to come off. And so when the blood comes off, Satan can't have any more light as to understanding. He will be ignorant, altogether ignorant. Because the only light he has is the overshadowing of the Shekinah light, which is because of the blood being on the seat of atonement. So then that means that Satan, who lives in a human body, that's climbed up into the upper lintel, that is to say, through grace by Calvary, he got in. God protecting the righteous. So then when he got into the human body, he dwells in the human body. There's spots and blemishes in our feast of love and charity. It comes before God in this grace, this rim of grace, just like Satan did in the days of Job when he went before God. So then that means that Lucifer is in human bodies. You see 1,000 human bodies, there might be 15 of them that might be Christ in the earth, the tabernacle of God in the earth and God inside. The rest of them might be the body of Lucifer. Could be more. Might be about an average. I know it's little flock, and great is the multitude that's turned into hell. For the Bible said, and the multitudes were turned away. So, that means that the tabernacle of God is in the earth, but the tabernacle of Lucifer is also in the earth. So, that means that with the rent veil of Calvary, my body is dead, buried in a watery grave. God never sees it again. I'm passing through the valley of the shadows, and God from the mountaintop of Calvary sees me way over here on the mountaintop of the Thessalonian chains. And the valley of the shadows is here. And I'm passing through the valley of the shadows. But the rod and staff, which is his word and spirit, they comfort me. And the shadows is the shadow of death. It is the shadow of death, which means fallen angels, evil spirits. And the reason it is a shadow is because it is this up here, the iniquity that gets between you and God. For the Bible said, thine iniquities have separated between you or thee and thy God, and has held thee back from good things. So then it means that shadows, there are natural shadows, there are spiritual shadows. And this is what's happening in our heart. With the kingdom of God in here, the mind of Christ comes into our heart. When the mind of Christ comes into our heart, then there is a transformation of mind. There is a change. There's the warfare. And so within the heavenlies, as to the star war, as to the holy war, as to these things we see in the natural between the good and the bad, so far as the natural people as intellectual reflectors and the spiritual people that are true children of God. See, the thoughts are the same way. Paul said, my thoughts the means while excusing or else accusing one another. So the mind of God is on the inside. And Paul said, I have a will to do good. But he said, that's in the inner man. As to my outer man, there's a power, an infiltration, Lucifer's mind, warring against the mind of Christ on the inside. He said, how to perform this will to do good as to the inner man, to get it to be manifested in the outer man, as to make him do right. He said, I can't get him to do it. He's contrary to everything I want to do. So he said, oh, wretched man that I am. I'm in a terrible complex, he said. I'm in a terrible condition. On the inside, I feel holy, I feel godly, I feel pure by the Spirit of God that dwells within me. On the outside, I feel wretched, I feel dirty, I feel unclean. And he said, what can I do? Oh, wretched man that I am, he said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Dispute over the body again. Said, who shall deliver me from the body? Said, the body's what's killing me. Who shall deliver me? He said, within my body there's no good thing. So he said, I thank God that what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, that is my weakness as to perform the righteousness of the law, which righteousness according to the Bible because of Jesus Christ is fulfilled in me because of what Christ did. So he said, what the law could not do, in that it was weak through my flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. That is, God made an image of sin. Said God doing this, he condemned sin in the flesh. So every sin now, he said, is without the body. Except the sin of fornication. He that sins the sin of fornication sins against his body. So he said, and every sin now is without the body. So then the body is now dead. And as sin and death come upon all of humanity by one man, even Adam. And in Adam all died. Nobody else had to sin. Nobody had to sin. Just because Adam sinned, I had to die. I didn't have to sin. Adam sinned. And in Adam all die because we're born of Adam. So as in Christ Jesus, all are made alive. Delivered from my offenses and raised again for my justification. So in Christ Jesus today, it's not I that have to live right. It's not I that have to perform righteousness. As in Adam all die, in Christ all are made alive. So then today, it is he that hath lived the holy life. It is he. The Bible said, and God hath made me what he wants me to be in him. And I am God's finished works in Christ Jesus. Predestinated unto good works. And the Bible said when Paul was preaching, as many as were ordained unto eternal life believe. So then it's just a matter of me repenting, letting God know that I'm not contrary to him, that I accept this wonderful glad tidings of great joy of eternal life, and that I am not contrary to him, that I am in harmony with him, and that I love him, and I want to serve him, and I want to be like him, because I have his nature. I am predestinated, given to me in God before the world ever was, brought to light through the preaching of the gospel. So then I let him know that I'm not contrary to him. And by the faith that God has revealed to me, I become a Christian. So then, as the Bible said, under the law as a tutor or a schoolmaster. We're under that until we come to the faith. The Bible said, and unto the faith of Jesus Christ by which we're sanctified. So then we're sanctified once and for all by that faith and perfected or made perfect forever, having been filled with his Spirit because of what Jesus did. And today I bear good fruits because my nature is to do good. If you're born of that nature, you do good. If you are an apple tree, then you bear apples. If you are an orange tree, then you bear oranges. And that is spiritually speaking. For an apple tree bears apples because that's its nature. An orange tree bears oranges because that is its nature. And the Bible said, in this you can tell the difference between the children of the devil and the children of the world. I have the nature of Christ. I have my fruits unto holiness. And the end thereof everlasting life. If you don't have the nature of Christ, then you want to suck on a cigarette. You want to drink beer. You want to curse. You want to watch the movies. You want to frolic. You want to give yourself to passions. You want to go after money. Gullible desire, education, fame, popularity, to be a celebrity or some kind of entertainer or something. See, you have the nature of your father, the devil. For he loves the things of the world. He savors the things of the world. He's the God of this world. But when you have the other nature, you have the nature of the Heavenly Father that loves holy, godly, pure, virtuous, Christian-like things and of winning souls and helping people. Much we could say about this thing, but I would just want to say this, that these shadows are thoughts. These thoughts, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ, meditating in his laws day and night, because the translation of this inner man is by the finished works of Jesus and faith of Jesus Christ. But the transformation as to the graduality of this thing to the transfiguration, which is of the body, that transformation that's between the transfiguration of the body and the translation of the spirit, the transformation we called it, Paul said, be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. That transformating period is how Lucifer gets in. He transforms himself into a minister or an angel of light. So then we have the power through Christ to transformate our minds as from thought to thought, as from faith to faith, as from glory to glory. See, and this is the great light of God coming, doing away with the world. With this mind of Christ, it comes first. It is the mind, and then when the Jews come in, the body of Jesus comes. But right now, it's the Spirit of Christ, the life of Christ, the mind of Christ, coming through the spiritual Jews, stealing away the jewels. And so, from thought to thought, from shadow to shadow, see, through this valley, from this image over here of where Adam fell as the Son of God, to this image over here as the finishing of that that makes us the Son of God, even the millennium, the restoration of the garden, through this valley, this transitional changes of this life, we're going through the shadows. See, and demons present themselves in the form of thoughts which create desire. It's a desire, it's a stimulation. You can feel it in your genes. You can feel it in your bloodstream. You can feel it in your body, just like your appetite. See, or when you're thirsty. And so then Satan, working through that, he has set up his kingdom. But the second heaven is coming down because the grace is being moved. Why? Because the children of God, that man-child is done, started being caught up into that third heaven and getting into that third heaven. That means he's not passing through that wilderness anymore. The blood down in Egypt, the born-again experience. Over the Red Sea as to Calvary, right into the wilderness of the transitional changes of the shadows of the indoctrination of the law, the transgressions and the biting of the serpents, those evil ones, and then all of a sudden down into the pit as to the barrel, as being baptized in the Red Sea, in the cloud, under Moses and the little children, the new life comes up and Joshua takes them over the Jordan, which is the carnal human reasoning of the shadows of death, and takes them into that wonderful Canaan land that's called glory. So we see how wonderful it is to walk with God, and we see what God has done. God is a spirit, and God does everything in the spirit, and God does everything secretly, and God is doing it to where the world don't see it, and the intellectual brilliance of the beast from the tree of knowledge is killing him. It is killing him. So it is so wonderful to be a Christian. I want you to stand with me. A lot of things that we'd like to say tonight, but I just want you to know that that world is coming down. We comment on it a little later on, some more things about it. But right now, I want you to think on that. That what you can see when you look around you, you can see that the second heaven is coming down. If grace is lifted, then Satan, living in the human being that is under the blessings of grace, Satan will then be exposed. He is the god of this world. I'm not of this world. I'm not in this world. I've been chosen out of this world. That's why I can't sin, is because sin is in this world. I'm not under Lucifer. He's not my master. You can't serve two masters. So it's very obvious that that one is coming down. The reflectors are falling from the heavens. The light to the church light is to the moonlight, which is that old reflector of churchism, is going out. And the children of the day are beginning to come forth. As to the day started dawning. For the Bible said, you're not children of darkness of intellectual reasoning. Paul turned my people to light. We are children not of intellectual darkness, but of the great light of the revelated mind of God, or the understanding of Christ. And he said, ye are children of the day. Children of the day. So to all you children of the day, something is happening. And the redemption of your body is at hand. And the change of your body is at hand. And the stages of the metamorphosis is coming to its climax. You that are born of God, you're fixing to receive the inheritance as to the purchased possession, even the change of your body, into that glorious, eternal body that shall never perish. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There's room
at the cross. Can you sing it with me again? The altars are open. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Sing it again. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of mine heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I, can you sing it with me again? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Sing it again. Every promise in the book. Chapter, every verse, every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. Oh, I'm trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Oh, how I love Jesus. Sing it with me. Sing it with me. Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. For to me He is so wonderful. For to me He is so wonderful. For to me He is so
wonderful, 'cause He first loved me. Sing it again with me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. The altars are open. If you'd like to come to the altar, then you may. Things are taking place. Many of you that I'm speaking to right now are intellectual reflectors. You don't have the stimulation of revelation. Neither do you have the stimulation of the Holy Spirit as to inspire you to godliness and holiness and self-denial and the things of God. You still have the love of the world. Your ambition is to be something in the world and to manifest yourself. Sad to say that many people that get into religion, even in religion, their ambition is to manifest themselves, even in a religious way. But you know, the prophets of old slipped away. They saw the corruption of the world. They hurt down in their heart. They were grieved. Jesus, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. Paul, who had gone after fame and popularity, all of a sudden, it dawned on him what he had done. And he began to say, I'm rejected like Jesus, and in my heart there is continual sorrow. See, we should go after God, not after the world. Let's sing this song. Gone, the stone is rolled back. Gone, and the tomb is empty. Gone, to sit at my Father's side. Oh, He's gone over death triumphant. Gone, sin is defeated. Gone, and He lives forevermore. Oh, He's gone, Father's stone is rolled back. Gone, and the tomb is empty. Gone, to sit at my Father's side. Oh, He's gone over death triumphant. Gone, sin is defeated. Gone. Can you sing it again with me? Oh, He's gone, and the stone is rolled back. Gone, and the tomb is empty. Gone, to sit at my Father's side. Oh, He's gone over death triumphant. Gone, sin is defeated. Gone, and He lives forevermore. Don't you love the Lord? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Jesus, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. bass we over the wild stormy deep. But in Jesus I'm saved evermore. Sing it again with me. For we've anchored our soul in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am saved evermore. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands up together, can we? Father God of heaven, we're grateful tonight for the wonderful revelation of the Son of God. And when we look behind the veil and beyond the veil, oh Lord, we don't see through a glass darkly anymore. But hallelujah, Father, we're able to see face to face. The veil has been rent. The dark night has been taken away, and now the true light shines. And oh God of heaven, I'm so thankful that I'm partakers of that great light. Knowing that the flesh profiteth nothing, you've killed it and buried it, Holy Father. And tonight it's just a matter of the Spirit. And Lord, I've been translated into your marvelous kingdom. And I thank you for that, Father. Standing in the presence of angels, fellowshipping angels, and fellowshipping the saints of God in the church of the living God. I ask you to be with me, and I ask you to help me tonight. Bless me, Heavenly Father. Bless my children. Bless my children. Paul said, I've begotten them as children in the gospel. Bless my children. Father, bless the people throughout the world, and help us in our own little way here by the wonderful magnificence of Christ. Reach out, beloved Father, in world evangelism and do something for people, especially at this hour when the second heaven is crumbling. Let us introduce another heaven. While that government is going down, let us introduce another government. And while that light is going out and total darkness is coming, let us introduce another light. Oh Lord, while that song is fading into the night, let us bring another song of victory, the song of the Lamb. I ask you to do it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus. We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. Just let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy. Can you sing that again with me? We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the sun or the rain falls, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. One more time. We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. Serve the living God that has control. And if the sun shines or the rain falls, I'll be happy, oh so happy In my soul, I don't want your gold or silver. I don't want your diamond rings. All I want is the love of Jesus. For to me, He's everything. Sing it again. I don't want your gold or silver. I don't want your diamond rings. All I want is the love of Jesus. For to me. Can you sing that again? I really believe you mean that. I don't want your gold or silver. I don't want your diamond rings. All I want is the love of Jesus. For to me, He's everything. One more time. I don't want your diamond rings. All I want is the love of Jesus. For to me, hallelujah! Can you say hallelujah? I don't want your gold and silver. Give it to the world. I don't want your diamond rings. All I want is the love of Jesus. For to me, He is everything. You know, they sing that song like this. It goes something like this. You gotta walk that lonesome valley. You gotta go there by yourself, for there's no one here that can go there for you. You gotta go there by yourself. Mama had to walk that lonesome valley. She had to go there by herself. Was no one here. She had to go there by herself. And you gotta walk that lonesome valley. You gotta go there by yourself. There's no one here that can go there for you. You gotta go. That's why I don't want the gold and silver. Let's sing this song. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It makes me love everything. everybody makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody, and it's goody enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's goody enough for me. It was good for my mother and my father. It was good for my mother and my father. It was good for my mother and my father, and it's goody. Sing it. It will do when I am leaving. It will do when I am leaving. It will do when I am leaving, and it's goody enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old, somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand, can you? Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. One more time. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's goody enough for me. Let's sing this little song in closing, can we? The Lord has done what He said He would do. Let's sing this little chorus. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land. And time shall be. Sing it with me, folks. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time. Can you sing it again with me? If you really believe that in your heart, sing it with me. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and land, and I feel like we ought to sing at least one more time. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. I want you to bow your heads with me. Time shall be no more. The angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. I would ask Brother Richard the Jew to come up and pray. That would be fitting. Time no more, and the Jews would come in. Richard, the name means king of all. While Richard's coming to pray for us, let's lift our hands up, close our eyes, and read this little note here. Search your hearts tonight. See if what I'm telling you is true, and see if you are in the faith of Jesus Christ. Check your hearts tonight. Check your hearts. The second heaven is falling. It's coming down. I'm telling you the truth. It's coming down. So you say, how do you know, Brother Pye? Where's the grace for PTL? God put up with them powdered faces, them painted faces. Jim Baker running around in his shorts saying, God ain't going to get me for this. God put up with it. The churches, their ball games, running up and down the beaches. He's put up with it. He suffered it. Hasn't he done it? But what's happening all of a sudden? Why are these men getting in trouble all of a sudden? Why is all these things happening to them all of a sudden? Grace is beginning to be lifted. See, that's what it is. The second heaven beginning to go out. Folks, it isn't just going to be the preachers. Look around you. Men and women all over the world. The world is turning into a nightmare. Children are leaving homes. The little ones ravished. Little teenage girls ravished. Just got a report of something today. Men and women lost their stability, lost their sense of reasoning, eating themselves to death, eating and drinking. Money, it doesn't matter anymore. They don't care anymore. They don't care what it is. See, even the ball teams, they tell me that they've got together, this world of sports. Said they've drawn a line on the world of sports, and they said you've got to cross this line if you're going to be in the world of sports. And you can't mess with dope, and we're going to examine you for dope. And the world of sports got together, the athlete field got together, and said you won't examine us for dope. And they're boycotting, and they're coming together to keep them from examining them for dope. What is it? It's what I told you, judgment beginning at the house of God. God's getting them now. Everything's coming to pass. So that means the world is at an end. While Richard comes to pray tonight, think this over. And remember me in your prayers tonight.